This episode of Talking to Mod is sponsored by Sam's Barbershop in Northern Ireland. Not only can you get a haircut to look like an ace face, you can also dress like one too. Upstairs, they have a wide range of men's and women's clothing to suit you for any occasion. So what are you waiting for? Go check them out. How are we doing, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talking to Mod. This week we have the brains behind some of the biggest and the best album covers. No, forget it. The most iconic album covers in the world. He is Brian Cannon. This is Talking to Mod. This is Talking to Mod with Brian Cannon. Here we go. How are you, Brian? All right?
I'm good, thanks. Is this working? I haven't got a clue what I'm doing, really.
Mate, neither have I, to be honest, so don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah.
Can you hear me all right?
Yep, all good. Can you hear me?
Perfect, perfect. Thank you for joining me, first of all.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking us.
How are you?
Couldn't be better.
Are you in your shop at the moment?
No, I'm in my house.
Oh, okay, okay. I see a little few bits in the background. I like that, I like that.
That's an original from 95, that. We don't have that in the shop. That's 6 foot tall. You see it? That's like a huge poster, that one.
Beautiful, beautiful, man, beautiful. So basically, this podcast is just talking. Normally, it started off talking absolute bollocks. And to be honest, the longer we went on with it, it hasn't got much better. So yeah. Do you know what I mean? But listen, it's an honour to have you on here, first of all. What I want to know, this is mainly, we have a lot of music fans on here, right? And the same question as I like to open up with is, what music were you listening to when you were a youngster?
Punk rock. Well, you know, I mean, the first proper music I was listening to, other than just what happened to be in the charts when I was really little, the first music I got into, Sex Pistols, Buzzcocks, Clash, Damned, and I'm probably about 11 or 12 at that point. 1978, so yeah, punk rock, that's what changed my life, really. That's what spurred me on to do what I do to this day still, and yeah, that's where it all started. Late 70s punk rock.
Do you remember the first album you bought?
Yeah, the very first album I bought was by the Skids, and it was called Scared to Dance.
Great band, that is. Brilliant, man, brilliant. What about gigs? Were you much of a gig goer? Yeah.
First gig I ever saw, coincidentally, was the first band that Noel Gallagher saw on the same tour, but just at two different venues, and it was The Damned in 1981, or was it 1980, something like that?
Brilliant, brilliant. I mean, for me, my favourite ever band, Jam. A band I wish, if I could go back in time and watch them.
Yeah? Never saw him play. I was a massive Jam fan as well. I never saw him.
Same. I mean, I've seen From the Jam a few times, but I mean, and Weller millions of times, God. But I mean, like, everyone I've spoke to, I had Chrissy Boy from Madness, Will from Echo and the Bunnymen, we're talking about the Jam, and it was just something special about seeing that band live. Like, they're just incredible, weren't they?
Yeah, I never saw them. I mean, again, they were, you know, that was like the sort of tail end of the 70s punk rock thing. Well, they were never specifically punk. They were definitely within, if you're punk, you're into all that kind of stuff. And I just remember that in the city, that the Jam, and it sprayed on the wall, that logo, just fantastic.
Brilliant, brilliant. Do you have a favourite song?
What? Single song?
Yeah. I mean, for me, my one's Ghosts by the Jam.
You mean by the Jam or just by anybody?
By the Jam.
No, I wasn't that big a fan, you know. I thought they were great and that, but if I was to pick one, I don't know, Tube Station, I think is a pretty incredible record. I don't know, I mean, like, I wouldn't call myself some sort of connoisseur. I don't really know that much about them to give, you know, specifics. But favourite song, if you had to nail me down and say, you can pick one song and that's it, would have to be pretty vacant pistols.
Oh, what a tune that is, by the way.
Every time I do like a Q&A or anything like a public, I always, like a darts play, you know, they have like a walk-on.
Yeah.
That's my walk-on tune. I always walk on to
gets you pumped up. Yeah. Great tune, man. Now, you have been behind some of the most iconic and the best album covers to date. I mean, the bands you have worked with are absolutely incredible. Yeah. For instance, I'm going to name a band, the Super Furry Animals, right? Yeah. Now, I met, is it Dav, the drummer?
Yeah.
Right? So I did a Q&A with McGee in Cardiff, and Dav come up to me at the end and he said, McGee, we're going to look after him tonight. We're going to take him out with us. And Alan just looked at me, shook my hand and went, you're going to end up getting absolutely fucking written off tonight. And I can't remember anything, but I remember being in there, he had a studio and the stories they were telling me, like they bought a tank to, and he had the helmet in the studio and I was brilliant. What a band.
Yeah, do you know what people often say to me, because I work with them and more famously Oasis and The Verve. Cool. People always say to me, it was your favourite to work with, Oasis or The Verve? And to which I always reply, Super Furry Animals.
Great.
They were the best. What I loved about them was, apart from the music, they're the only band I've ever worked with where it was a true democracy. Nothing ever happened unless all of them agreed. You know, whereas other bands, there's one person or it was like the leader or the boss, if you like, or there's a bit of a battle going on. With them, it was a total democracy. They all had to agree before anything happened, and I've never seen that with any other band.
No, I mean, incredible. Not, and I mean, the time I had with Dav, I was only with him for about, I don't know, a few hours and that, but the stories they were telling me, and he was showing me some early days, like some live footage, and it was just incredible.
I went to Colombia for a week with them to shoot the video for Demons. I mean Colombia, as in South America, Colombia.
Yeah.
In 1997, when Pablo Escobar had just been killed, it was a fucking madhouse. And we were over there with armed guards making a pop video in the jungle. It was mental.
Yeah. That is incredible. Yeah. But I mean, what a band. I mean, obviously, the main ones, your Oasis is your Blur, your Verve, sorry. I actually grabbed this cover before I went up to chat to you. And I've seen you talk about this cover before and tell a few stories. And it's only through a video. I can't think what the video was, Brian, but you mentioned about the cigarette at the...
I can't see it now. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly that. Like, it's literally like a trick. If I could look at that a million times, not see it, but it's after you said that, you're just glued to that.
Yeah, I only noticed it myself a while back,
But, I mean, that is literally a work of art, isn't it, that cover?
You know, people think that it's obviously photoshopped, but it isn't. You know, that Rolls Royce really is in that pool. I think it looks photoshopped because I don't think the car looks big enough. It looks too small, but no, it's really in there. I mean, we didn't just drive it in. It was, we had to drain the pool and build scaffolding beneath it and lower it in. But that car's really in that pool.
I bet it weren't working when you got it out, was it?
It wasn't working when we put it in. There was no engine in it. We hired it from the scrapyard. It wasn't a runner. You know, it was knackered. But it just looked all right. I think the back end was all damaged as well. But we just needed the front bit poking out the water that looked mint, and that was it. But we hired it for a grand, I think.
How do you even think about something like that, though? Like, where did you get the idea? Like, what did you...
Well, in that particular case, that was Bonehead's idea, actually. The original idea for that sleeve was, because money was no object by then. By 1997, Oasis were just the biggest thing in the world. And, you know, they had just unlimited amounts of money to do anything we wanted to do. And the original idea was each band member could choose anywhere in the world that they wanted to go to, and we were going to shoot a sleeve there and then just sort of comp them all together. Have you seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the film, the movie?
Oh, yeah.
There's a flat top mountain. Noel wanted to go to that. Gwigsy wanted to be on a beach in the West Indies watching cricket. something else. And Bonehead said he wanted to recreate a scene where rock and roll legend has it that Keith Moon drove a Rolls Royce in a swimming pool, right? which never happened anyway. I think it was a Lincoln Town car got driven into something like that. But this myth evolved that Keith Moon had driven a Rolls Royce into a pool, and Bonehead said he wanted to do that. So in the end, we had to go with that, not because we didn't have the money to do all this thing, but we just didn't have the time. And that was the one thing we could shoot in England. So we thought, yeah, the Rolls Royce in the pool. So that was kind of Bonehead's idea, that. But on the other ones, and where do I get them all from? Who knows? You know, I listen to the record, have a chat. In Oasis' case, it would just be me and Noel. Verve's case, it'd be me and Richard. In Super Furries, it'd be me and all of them. But you know what I mean? But I don't know. It just comes to me. I don't know. If I knew that, I'd sell it, I suppose.
Aye, of course. You've got to bottle it up. Mm. Let's talk about the Verve as well. I mean, great band. I mean, such an iconic album. Again, we use the word iconic. I mean, there's no other word for it, is there?
No. Of all the albums, I was only thinking this the other day, actually. Of all the albums I've worked on, I'd have to say the Verve's not Urban Hymns, the middle one, A Northern Soul. I think that's my favourite of all the records that I've ever worked on. It's a deep, dark record, is that, but it's a spectacular album. But the Verve, it's an incredible story, really, because they wouldn't happen nowadays, because these days, if a record company signs you, they need instant success, otherwise you just get dropped. Whereas back then, the first two albums did bugger all, really. It took them three albums to get to Urban Hymns, to the big hits, do you know what I mean? And a band like that just wouldn't be developed like that anymore, so it would never happen. You know, they would just get dropped before they ever reached... You know, I think 92 they put the first single out. It was 5 years later before they had any big hits when Urban Hymns came out. So the record company believed in them and were developing them for 5 years, but that just wouldn't happen anymore.
You mentioned Northern Soul, that album from the Verve is probably one of my favourites. History is my favourite Verve song. That's just absolutely class when you listen to that. Is there a band that you wish you worked with?
Well, you know, back in the day when I was doing it, I kind of worked with everybody who was any good anyway. Of that era, Primal Scream. But then again, I didn't mind that so much because I thought their artwork was good. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want to work with somebody who I thought they were doing a good job anyway. But Primal Scream were kind of the only one from that era that I didn't work with that I really wanted to, I suppose. And since then, Arctic Monkeys, I suppose. But other than that, I kind of worked with everybody I really wanted to. I mean, I did the Lathams album last year, was it? That was the first number one album I've worked on in a while. But I don't do it that much anymore. I'm just concentrating more on doing my own stuff, which we haven't really rolled it out yet. But that's going to be happening this year, just more of my own work for my own sake, and just selling it as fine art pieces, effectively.
No, I'm often on your website, to be honest, and the missus is... I've got to make sure she's out of the room before I go on your website, because my corridor in my house is it's just works of art and music, memorabilia and stuff like that, and I get told off when I buy a new piece, you know what I mean? I have to get the postman to come around the back way, do you know what I mean? But I was seeing these, the Definitely Maybe, it's your writing, and they're all one of one, aren't they?
Yeah, and everyone's not written.
You mentioned in the video, you did a video telling about it, that you said a lot of people actually thought it was Noel Gallagher's writing.
They did. I mean, they still do. People say, I don't know why. I mean, nobody's ever said one way or the other. I just presume, a lot of people think it's like a font or a typeface or something, or they think it's Noel's, I suppose, just because, you know. In fact, he's just revealed, hasn't he, that he's done the Man City kit. Well, they've asked him to handwrite all the players' names as well. So everybody presumes it's his handwriting, you know, but it wasn't. It was my handwriting. And the reason that it was handwritten in the first place was, back in the day, everybody was going about how the Oasis sounded like the Beatles. And I'm like, I'm a massive Beatles fan, as you can see. I'm a huge Beatles fan. I'm like, I don't get it. He said, fuck all like the Beatles. It's more like Sex Pistols. I thought Definitely Maybe it was more like Nevermind the Bollocks. And the original idea was, rather than to have it like typeset like in a normal font, I'd handwrite it, scribble it like it's more of a punk rock thing. As it goes, it looks quite neat, my handwriting. And Noel was surprised how on punk it looked and how sort of very neat it was. But no, it is my handwriting. And yeah, it's an interesting tale because everybody thinks it's his.
That is class though, isn't it? And I think it's just brilliant the way that is, as you said, each one is different.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone, I'm
surprised nobody's actually said, oh no, you must be printing these. No, I haven't. I handwrite. Anybody who buys one off of us, I write it out individually. I actually wrote one today. Somebody messaged in and said, can you write it in green pen? It's for a Celtic fan. I said, yeah, no problem. So it's handwritten in green ink. And I'm a bit of a Celtic fan myself, so I'm happy with that.
It's good though. I mean, your shop, I've yet to visit the shop, right? But as I said, been on the website many a times, and it just looks like I don't think you'd be getting me out of that shop, to be honest, mate. You'd have to give me the keys.
The shop in we've got two, one up here in the Lakes where I am now, and one in Manchester. And the one in Manchester's we got flooded last year. Which was kind of a blessing in disguise because we set it all up and I didn't really like the look of it. But once it's done, you have to shut it to redo it, if you like. And I was never going to do that because you obviously have to shut the shop. But this flood came along, so the insurance... I mean, we didn't swindle the insurance. It was all genuine. We got flooded. But that enabled us to redo it how we wanted to do. So we ironed out the initial mistakes. So it looks more like a gallery now. And that's going to undergo a lot of changes this coming summer, with a lot of new work that I'm going to put into it. And we're just, you know, making our own bespoke frames. And it's just, you're just progressing all the time, aren't you? So, you know, I think we're going to sort of up our presentation. It's going to change and for the better, I think. So next time you're in Manchester, come and see us.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Actually, I'm in Manchester in June, I think. So
yeah, of course, you're doing that. I'm doing it as well, aren't you? Come see us.
Yeah, man. The thing at the Sulphur Club, isn't it?
Yeah.
Completely forgot about that. Yeah, if you're about, are you going down to that?
Yeah, I'm doing Q&A there. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
This could be a warm up for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll do a live IG from our shop as well. Then while you're there,
100%, 100%, man, that'd be brilliant. But I mean, Manchester, I love Manchester. It's one of the first places me and my partner went on one of our first dates. It's just something about Manchester, and even the crowd, the people, every time I play there, it's just such a special place, isn't it?
Yeah, I love Manchester. I always have ever since when I was, because I'm from Wigan, I'm not from Manchester, I'm from Wigan, which is only 18 miles away, but it's not Manchester, you know what I mean? And when I was a kid, my mother used to take me there, I thought I was in fucking Manhattan, you know what I mean? And I was like, wow, in the early 70s, this would be. And then when punk kicked off, I go to Manchester every weekend to buy me records and all the shops. Because, you know, Manchester, you had London, New York and Manchester. That was the three world centres of punk rock, literally, you know.
Mad.
London, New York and Manchester. So, is that your kid in the background there? Can I hear your child in the background?
I know. Sorry about that.
You're
all right. He's 2 going on like 18.
Wow.
Named after Lonnie Donegan.
Oh, good man. Good man. And... So, yeah, Manchester's always had a special place in my heart. So, obviously, with the Oasis connection, and, you know, it's kind of, it's the capital of the North, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we'll open it up anyway, that's where it is. And, yeah, we're on King Street, it's a lovely street surrounded by art galleries, and, yeah, it's lovely. Of course, it is.
Going back to some of the work you've done, Boneheads, he's a bit of a photographer, yeah, isn't he? He's taken a few photos and then he's signed them and they were selling on your website. Was there one of like a flamingo thing or something?
I've got the guitar one, which sold out, I've got here. That sold out pretty much. That's the one that everybody's after. There's the guitar, the flamingo, which was on the mantelpiece of Definitely Maybe. And then his rig that he played live with, you know, his amps and his mad pedals and all that. So we did a series of three.
I met him briefly before Brian Jonestown Massacre played in Manchester. I was supporting him, and he come to the sound check last year it was, and I done a few tricks to him and absolutely spun him out. I'd done this one trick to him and he was like, oh, that's it, I'm fucking off, forget this. And he just ended up walking out. But what a lovely fella, lovely fella.
Top bloke, yeah, he is, lovely guy.
Out of all the albums that you've done, created, have you got a favourite that to you, that's my baby?
Well, not so much an album, but Some Might Say, which is a single, obviously, you know, the railway station with me. It's my dad pushing the wheelbarrow full of fish, and my mum sweeping up the platform. So some might say by Oasis, although it's a single, album wise, I think definitely maybe Take Some Beating. It's just so iconic, and you know, I don't know. I mean, there's quite a few in there. Albums, first album, Storm in Heaven. That's an amazing piece. But yeah, I mean, they're all different, but they're, you know, they're all good. I wouldn't have put any of them out had I not believed in them. Some are obviously better than others, but I've, you know, that's the same with any art. You know, some of your tricks are better than other tricks, aren't they? You know what I mean? That's that's just the way it is. But you know, I believe in all of them. Otherwise, I wouldn't have put them out. Do you know what I mean? So
100%, 100%. That's a lovely touch there about you mentioning. I never knew that. That was the old man pushing the wheelbarrow on it.
My mum and dad, they're both deceased now, unfortunately, appeared on 3 Oasis singles. Well, records. Both my mum and dad were on Do You Know What I Mean in the crowd behind the band, and they're both on the Masterplan album as well in the schoolroom, classroom.
That is class.
Yeah.
Brilliant, man. I never knew it. Like, that's brilliant. I mean, the more you look, the beauty of album. I mean, I'm a big vinyl collector, love vinyl. And the best thing about it is when you get a good album, I mean, this one, you could look at this for hours. And as you mentioned, you pick up little things. You go, well, what's this there? Why is that cigarette there? Why is this? Yeah. And that is just the beauty. The longer you look at a cover, the more stuff you discover, didn't you?
Well, you should. When I got into this from a fan's point of view when I was a kid, you know, I'd go to Manchester on the bus, like I mentioned before. It was a 45-minute journey back to Wigan from Manchester where I lived, back to Wigan where I lived, and I'd buy these records. And if I'd discovered the sleeve by the time I got home, I thought it was a rubbish sleeve. So, some of my stuff, I mean, I'm still noticing stuff on my own sleeves that I hadn't noticed. I can't roll with it. There's a bottle of water underneath Liam's chair. I thought, that was a fucking hell. I've never noticed that before. And I did it, you know. So I think if you keep spotting stuff that you haven't seen, that's the sign of a good record sleeve, is that?
Apart from not your own work, is there an album cover out there that you just absolutely love?
Pink Floyd, Montgomery is probably my favourite by Hypnosis. That's the one. There's a lot. Never mind the bollocks. I mean, I know it's just a typographical sleeve, but
hits you, doesn't it?
Yeah, and if you look at it closely, what he's done there is amazing. You know, just the letters aren't quite straight. If you really look into it, it's quite intense, actually. There's The Police, Can't Stand Losing You. The thing, you know, the Police thing. Have you seen the sleeve to that?
Like, I'll have to jog my memory, but I probably have because I've got a few Police.
The Police, Can't Stand Losing You. It's a guy stood on a block of ice with a noose round his neck and an electric fire in front of the block of ice. It's genius.
Yeah. It's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. What else is there? Oh, there's loads of them. There's too many to name, but you know, Pink Floyd, Montgomery is the number one for me.
Moving on, you mentioned earlier on that you've got some new little projects coming on with the shop and all that coming up. So what can we expect to see?
I mean, there's certain projects I'm working on for other clients that I can't mention.
Of course.
But in terms of my own stuff that I'm doing, I want to really make some quite statement pieces, you know, like big bolt. We're hand making the frames ourselves, you know, from start to finish. What I'm trying to do is set up a system at our place where we've just got control of everything. We do everything in house, just so it's a quality thing and it's a convenience thing. Obviously, costing, if you're doing everything yourself, it's going to cost you less to do, but that isn't the primary, because money was never the issue with us. It was all about quality. And if I know that we're making it from start to finish ourselves, I know that we've got a handle on it's going to be absolutely shit up. So I'm talking about making some photographic. My work's always photographically based. So there'll be some limited editions, some silkscreen stuff, which is, you know, there'll be, and to suit all price ranges as well, from where we are now going up to really some quite high end stuff. But real beautifully presented, amazing looking statement pieces. That's what we're aiming for. So, and I know that could be anything, but that's the basic crux of it. If you want a massive statement piece for your house, we're the people for you.
Oh God, I can already hear the grief in my head from the missus when I come through the door in after June or something with like 3 bags full of stuff.
Yeah, good lad.
But no, listen, I think I'm happy with that. I really do appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you. I'm flattered that you're interested enough to talk to us in the first place.
So no, of course I am. Big admirer of your work, and I have been for a while.
I think what day are you doing that Salford Lads Club? We're on different days, but I'm around all week. Are you doing the opening night or something?
I think I'm doing the opening night, and he wants me to I met Kyle at Noel Gallagher in Kingston. He was doing a Q&A, and he come up to me and he bought me some gifts. He had like a signed drum skin from Tony McCarroll and some sticks, and we got chatting. I did a few tricks to him, and he said, do you want to get involved with this night? I think it'd be brilliant, because I've got a bit of a connection where I've done a load of stuff. Like I've performed to Liam, which on a night out when I was with Cole Barrett from the Libertines, we bumped into Liam, and some of the photos for that are iconic. Like there's this one photo of just me and him shaking hands, right? But the photographer got it right. Oh, it's brilliant.
Where are you from? So
I'm originally from Crawley, but I live in Northern Ireland now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You live in Northern Ireland?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereabouts?
But West Belfast.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Don't make me say it online.
Go on.
I live right. Literally like a minute away from the town. Like there's a place and I live like up there, up near around there. But it's
I could be living north. Is it your missus? Is that why you're over there?
Yeah, she kidnapped me. We met about 5 years ago, funny enough, at one of my shows. And as you do, she obviously thought hang about. Well, he's got a bit about him.
That's how I end up in Lakes. My missus is from round here, so that's why I live in the most beautiful part of the country and not Wigan anymore.
No. I've never been to that place. It sounds. I've seen the photos.
Oh, yeah. The
stunning, it's
beautiful,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's something else. I mean, when I live in the middle of nowhere. The nearest streetlight's a mile from this house. You know, I live properly. It sticks me, but it's great. But yeah, are you doing the opening night of this thing in?
Yes, Thursday, isn't it?
Thursday, right.
Are you about for that? Will you be in Manchester for that? Yeah.
I'll be at the gym.
Oh. And well, there you go.
If you're there in the afternoon, come and see us in the shop. We'll be in there then.
100%. It's a date.
Right, nice one.
Thank you very much for your time and have a lovely evening.
You too.
Look after yourself. Top man. You thank you. Bye, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The next door.